So Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not." So Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, the holy people of the day, the religious people. And they sit in Moses' seat. So, you know, when Moses was on earth, he would tell the people what to do, tell them how they should be living and all these things. And he's saying, well, they sit in Moses' seat. So they're the religious authorities. People look to them to see, you know, what's righteous or what people should be doing. But Jesus is also pointing out the fact that, you know, the people of this day are hypocrites. Because he's saying, whatever they, in verse 3, he says, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. So they're telling you to, you know, to observe things. And he said, Jesus is saying you should do those things. But he also says, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So the religious people of the day, they're in a position of authority. They're sitting in Moses' seat, and they're also trying to instruct the people of what to do. And he's saying, you know, do what they're saying. They're telling you to do, because what they're telling you to do is a righteous thing. But he's also saying, don't do what they do. Do what they're telling you to do. Do what they say. You know, they're preaching, but they're not practicing what they preach. So, you know, the preaching is right, the message is correct, but the way these people are actually living is incorrect. So don't follow their patterns or after what they do, but you have to do what they're saying. And in verse 4 he says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So he's pointing out the hypocrisy of the people of the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's saying, no, they're telling you to do these things, and they're laying these burdens upon you. They're laying this, you know, the Bible says to pick up your cross, you know, and the Pharisees have failed to pick up the cross, but they're still laying this cross and this burden upon other people. They're still laying, you know, they're still trying to tell other people to live a righteous and holy life, and yet they themselves will not even move this burden with even their finger, as the Bible says. In verse 5, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." So they're just enjoying the, I guess, the status of their position. They're enjoying, you know, maybe they're in a good financial position and they're taking advantage of that, and they're in a good social position, which people are looking up to them, people are calling them rabbi and teacher, and because, you know, they sit in Moses' seat, so they're the people that are looked to for guidance. So they sit in Moses' seat, they have this authority, and instead of realizing how sacred that is, instead of realizing how important and valuable that is, you know, they're just taking advantage of it. They're just doing it for their own gain. They like to hold their heads high and be called rabbi and to be called things and to be respected. Like, they like their being well-respected men within their, you know, society or their community. But they fail to understand how sacred their position is, so they don't truly live the life. You know, they don't actually have an experience. They don't live the life that they're telling other people to live. And Jesus is speaking against this, and that they're hypocrites, and that that's not how, you know, we're meant to live. Verse 8 says, "But be not ye called a rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." So he's saying not to basically put people on a pedestal, basically not to look at someone, a religious figure or even a preacher or pastor, not to put them on such a pedestal, you know, or to think that, you know, everything they do you have to say, but it's always taking you back to the word. You have to have your own experience. You can never follow a man. You can never follow just someone's teaching. You can never just follow someone's ideas, but you have to have a relationship with God and have the Holy Ghost in you, and then that will, you know, decipher what's happening around you. And that's why it's so important to read, you know, the Bible, because in order for us to understand if what we're hearing is actually true, we have to ourselves be in the Word so that we know when someone is telling the truth or not. So we can't just trust people. We can't always just put people on a pedestal. But it's truly, we have to realize who He is, and then search the Scriptures and study for ourselves, and then see the truth. And that's how they're going to know, you know, because maybe there are some things that they teach that aren't always correct. But the people are going to know that if they study the scrolls for themselves, they study the words and the Scriptures for themselves. Because if they're telling you to do things, you know, and it's like, well, they're telling good things, but they're not living right, you know, then it's like we need to decipher, you know, why is this, or what's going on here, that they're living one way and telling us to live another way. And I believe it's Galatians, where I believe Paul is telling. You know, it's telling people like, why are you trying to convince the Gentiles to live a certain way when you as a Jew are living as a Gentile? So it's Jesus saying, do what they're saying, but this is not, it's not, they're not good examples themselves, because the way we advocate and bring people to the gospel is through our lives, it's through how we live, you know, because there's so many people who say certain things, and they'll say good things, and they can say things that sound convincing and they sound good, and it's like, oh, that's a good thing to do. And when you look at their life, you know, they're not living those things out. And that's the difference between, you know, someone who just says things and someone who actually believes it down in their heart, is that the person who really believes it down in their heart is going to manifest these things outwardly. So it's not just inward. It's not just God knows my heart, but it's these things are going to be manifested outwardly. And verse 11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So the biggest part and how you really advance in the gospel is to humble yourself and abase yourself and to be a servant to others. You know, even the way, you know, Brother Branham even says that your life, you know, your life, the way you live your life is so loud that I can't hear your testimony. I can't see your testimony because the way you're living is not according to what, you know, what you're claiming to profess and or claiming to believe. So even in how we live our lives and how we treat people and all these things, we should be doing this as a servant, as for other people, you know, and that the tree will bear fruit not for itself, but for those around it. And for us to be servants and to realize that not only do we need to live a holy life for ourselves, but we also need to live a holy life for those around us, so that we can convince other people, you know, that we can pull other people to the gospel, that we can be a good example to one another, that we can love each other the way, you know, God loves us, you know. And the love is so important, because, you know, we're supposed to be able to love everyone regardless and indiscriminately. So even the people that annoy us, or maybe get on the nerves, maybe the people we don't like, we're also supposed to love them just as much as we love our brother or our sister or our best friends. We're supposed to love everyone the same. So it's not that, well, those people, they're weird and I don't want to talk to them and or this and that, but it's why I love everyone the way that God loves them, because I want to see people the way that God sees them, so that the way that He loves everyone with so much love that it's incomprehensible to us. It's like that song, I could never ever outlove the Lord. But our goal is to love the way He loves. And that's how that's what's really gonna draw people into the gospel and into Christ, is to for them to see that love displayed in our lives, to see our character, to see the way that we live, to see our works and the way we manifest what we believe truly on the inside. Because, you know, even Jesus says they sit in Moses' seat, where they have this authority, and, you know, maybe the people who are already Jewish or religious will listen to these people and listen to the Pharisees and be like, well, they're saying good things and they're doing this. But if you're someone from the outside looking in and you just see people saying things and then doing something else, you know, that's not really an example that you want to follow, because all you see is a hypocrite. You know, someone who's not already a believer, all they see is a hypocrite. They don't see that, well, this is good, but the person who is delivering the message is wrong in the way and what they're doing. But someone who doesn't believe is going to see is a hypocrite. Because they don't know that, well, even Brother Bram says, you know, sometimes when you're listening to something, you're eating a pie, he says, like you're listening to a sermon or something, you want to eat the pie and you want to spit out the seeds, because there's going to be some seeds or some bad parts in there, but you don't throw the whole pie away, you just spit out the seed. Well, if you're not a believer, you're going to throw the whole pie away, because you're just like, these seeds are just so, you know, disruptive. And someone who's not, I guess, continuing the metaphor, that someone whose palate isn't adjusted to eating cherry pie or whatever the pie is, their palate's not adjusted to that type of food. So when they try to eat the pie, they just throw the whole pie away once they run into a seed, because that's all they're really focused on. They've never had it before. They just see a seed and they're like, why does it have seeds in it? And they just spit it out and they just throw the whole thing away. So in order for us to be examples and representations of what the gospel is supposed to look like, we need to be, in a way, seedless. We need to be to come to perfection. We need to be the perfect pie, I guess, is how you could put it. We need to be perfect. We need to be clean and unhindered and just truly walking, you know, in the Lord. And even what Brother Bob was bringing out last week, where he was talking about that quote where Brother Branham said, you can be in a place where the devil has no idea what to do with you. You can just be in such a holy place and in such a righteous place that the devil just throws his arms up and just gives, and he doesn't know what to do with you, because you're just so in the Word and so revelated and just walking in it and clothed in it and just bathed in it the way that, and laying in it the way that the Scripture wants us to inquire in His temple, to just be in the Word, and you can be in that place. So we can get to that place, we can get to perfection, and that's truly how we win people to Christ, and that's truly how we encourage even each other. You know, it is about winning other people to Christ, but even once we do, and even once we're all here, even for the people here, we need to be examples to each other and to be loving, to be caring, and to be kind. You know, even sometimes we don't want to be, but we need to be like our Father, which is in heaven. So we're trying to follow His example and not trying to make something up or be something that we're not, but we're trying to follow His example and to just be perfect and to be kind and loving it, so that we can encourage each other. You know, even the Ephesians talks about the edification of the saints, and everything that we say, everything that we do should be for the edification of the saints, to encourage each other and to build each other up in the gospel. You know, and the work isn't just done when we're all get to church. You know, it's not like we get to church and we can do whatever we want, and then when an unbeliever walks in, we all sit up straight and act holy. But it's that we should be living that way all the time, so that everyone can get, you know, just a piece or a part of that, get into the atmosphere that we've facilitated based on us living our life, you know, the right way. So it's good to remember that, you know, verse 11, the greatest among you shall be your servant. So we should always be aiming to be servants. And it's always struck me the way that the Christian hierarchy works. You know, most hierarchies, when you look at the world, most hierarchies, when someone is maybe, like, say if you're a police officer, you know, and you enter into the force, you know, sometimes you're like the lowest rank, and then eventually, you know, the higher you get, the more people you're in charge of, the more people, you know, you're taking care of. But and sometimes we think, you know, the higher up you get, the more power you have over people, and the more influence you have, and the more, you know, and a lot of times when people think of promotion in a business, it's usually a very self-serving type of thing, where the higher up you get, you know, the more you get for yourself. But the way it works in Christianity is that the higher up you get, it's really the more you serve others, you know, and especially in the church, and how you look at, you know, even teachers or preachers in the church and pastor in the church. And the higher up you get, the more people you're serving. It's not that you're doing this for your own gain, but it's really that the higher up you get, the more people you serve. That's why a pastor is such an important role, because they have to serve the people. And, you know, the pastor won't always, you know, be traveling a lot, or they may not go a lot of places. The pastor, you know, has to deal with everyone in the church, and they have to show that love to everyone, you know, because if we're being honest, some people, you know, sometimes we come to church and maybe there's people we don't like, and maybe there's people we just don't get along with, and sometimes we try to avoid them, but the pastor can't avoid those people. He has to love everyone and cater to everyone's needs, because that's the position that God has put him in, is to be that caterer, to cater to everyone's needs, because they're the shepherd, you know, and they're leading the flock and that type of thing, where it's like God has, you know, put you in a position, and now you have to take care of these people the way that, you know, the Bible instructs you to. So as a pastor, you're not going to avoid people. You're not going to, you know, try and hold biases against people or hold things against people, but you're going to want to cater to everyone's needs. And even if we're not going to have a position in the church or be a pastor or anything like that, we still need to be able to cater to each other's needs and to love each other and be kind to each other and not try to avoid each other. And if someone wants to talk to you, you know, maybe just sit there for a while, stand there for a while and listen to them. And I like how Brother Mike Olteague, he says that Brother Branham says you're supposed to listen to old people, so we have to listen to him. So Brother Mike will always bring that up. And it's a funny thing to bring up, but it's true that we should always be willing to listen and hear someone out. And even Jesus says, you know, the greatest commandment is to do unto others, you know, as you would have done unto you, or to love others the way I have loved you, that's what Jesus said. So to love others that way and to care in that way and to forbear one another in love and to be with each other and to worry about each other and to care what someone has on their mind if they're struggling with something or going through something and just to be there if they want to talk about that, whatever the case may be, because everyone's going through something. It's not like, you know, anyone's perfect or anyone's just, you know, skipping through life, no problems, but everyone's got something on their mind, something that's, you know, that's bothering them at one point or another. So we always need to be mindful of that and always want to be kind to people. And especially as Christians, to live the way, you know, Jesus lived, to live the way the Bible is instructing us to live. And the Bible will prove itself in how it wants you to live, because it's always consistent. You know, the consistencies of the kindness and the words you speak in the Old Testament are the same as in the New Testament words. They need to be edifying for other people. And even you think about Moses, see, even with the authority that Moses had, it was still for the people. It was all for the people. And of course, Moses had his own problems, and he had anger, and he had certain things where he would just, in his humanity, he would do the wrong thing. But his role at the end of the day was to help the people. You know, even when he first came to Israel, he said, not when he first came, but you know what I mean, because he was born there, but. When he first came, I mean, Egypt, first came there, he said, let my people go. So from the very beginning, the whole ministry was for the people. And it's to lead the people to the promised land, you know. And if we can sometimes just get off of ourselves and get more onto people and helping other people and worrying about them, you know, and just and finding different ways to show and express our love for our brothers and sisters and all those things. So just to continue to be patient, and like the scripture read a few weeks ago, you know, in your patience possess you your souls. Because I believe that's, you know, I think there's so much, there's something really profound about that scripture. It's like, in your patience possess you your souls, because Jesus says if you don't have love, you have nothing. And in order to be patient, you need to have some form of love. You need to have something in you that will allow you to be patient, to hear someone out, or to cater to someone's need. Because, you know, if we're just self-interested, and if we're prideful, like, you know, the brother I'm talking about, if we're just prideful and self-interested, we're not going to be able to love the way we're supposed to love. We're not going to be able to cater to people the way we're supposed to cater to people. We're not going to be able to hear people out, because we're all thinking about, I got to go somewhere, I got to do this, looking at the time, looking at the clock, and when is this person going to be done? Or even when we're in church sometimes, you know, we're listening to a sermon, it's like really listen to what's happening and not just worry about what time it is or how late it is. And there's so much in the Christian life that is facilitated by patience. If we can just be patient, in church, if we can be patient, you know, and with one another, if we can be patient at our jobs, if we can be patient, you know, when someone cuts us off on the highway, if we can be patient with our brothers and sisters, if we can just be patient and not to react so rashly, you know, the Bible says to be slow to anger. So in your patience, possess your souls, because there's so much that patience will help you out with in life, that, you know, even to wait upon the Lord and you'll renew your strength, or to wait upon these things, or even how long it took for you know, Abraham's promised child to actually be born, and all these promises in the Bible, and how we have to wait sometimes to build character and grow character. So, you know, always be worried about manifesting that patience and manifesting these things outwardly so that others can glean from them, so that others can benefit, so that we can always be servants. And always remember to be a servant. So God bless you. You're dismissed.